Hello and welcome to this podcast, which covers the discussions at the December 2016 meeting of the International Accounting Standards Board, held in London from the 12th to the 16th of December. My name is Roseanne Shipman and I'm part of the communications team at the IFRS Foundation. I'm joined by Stephen Cooper, ISB member, and Hugh Shields, Executive Technical Director, to talk through the discussions and decisions taken at the December meeting. Before I hand over to Steve and Hugh, I just want to mention that the views shared in this podcast are those of the participants. They do not necessarily represent those of the IASB. Hugh, can you tell me about the topics discussed at the December meeting?
Yes, so let me start with the financial instruments with the characteristics of equity, where the board continued its discussions. Didn't actually make any decisions in this meeting, but the board discussed how the gamma approach would apply to classifying derivatives whose classification under ISA 32 has been challenging in practice, and in particular, the board discussed whether a derivative with particular variables would be solely dependent on the residual amount. The board also asked the staff to look at the application of the gamma approach to classification of derivatives on non-controlling interests with an exercise price denominated in a foreign currency. The board will continue its discussions at future meetings. In relation to implementation and maintenance of standards, I particularly wanted to highlight the discussion on prepayment options in relation to IFRS 9, our financial instruments standard. And here the board discussed whether to add to its agenda a narrow scope project on IFRS 9 regarding financial assets with so-called symmetric make-whole prepayment options. And the board considered the classification of financial assets with such options, and taking into account feedback from the Interpretations Committee, the board agreed with the staff recommendation to add a narrow scope project on such symmetric make-whole prepayment options. And that discussion will continue in the January board meeting, where the staff will bring some further proposals. The board also had some discussions on rate-regulated activities, although were not asked to make any decisions. In particular, the board considered an overview of the proposed model, and including an explanation of its objectives and principles, and also looked at some numerical examples which show how entities would recognise regulatory assets and regulatory liabilities in practice. And the board also looked at how the staff had considered responding to concerns expressed by members of the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum. Then in relation to the conceptual framework, the board again continued its discussions of the feedback from the exposure draft to the conceptual framework, and in particular discussed measurement, capital maintenance, business activities, and derecognition. And the board also discussed the implications of long-term investment on financial reporting. In relation to measurement, the board discussed a revised draft of the Chapter 6, which covers measurement, and in particular measurement bases and the information that they provide, and also the factors to consider when selecting a measurement basis, namely relevance, faithful representation, and the enhancing qualitative characteristics. In relation to business activities and long-term investment, the board decided that it will not introduce business activities as an overarching concept that affects all areas of financial reporting. And furthermore, in the revised conceptual framework, the board will not comment on long-term investment as a business activity, nor will it include specific measurement or presentation concepts related to long-term investment. And the board, in summary, believes that these matters can be suitably addressed at a standard setting level. In relation to concepts of capital and capital maintenance, the board decided to carry forward the revised conceptual framework, or in the revised conceptual framework, the existing chapter on this topic, whilst including a note at the start of the chapter to say that the area has not been updated as part of this update. On derecognition, the board decided to confirm the derecognition concepts proposed in the exposure draft and will retain the discussion of contract modifications set out in the exposure draft with some additional explanatory amendments. And with that, I shall pass over to Steve.
Okay, thanks, Hugh. So I'm going to talk about primary financial statements and the disclosure initiative. So in terms of primary financial statements, the staff for the last few months have been doing some outreach and thinking about how we might tackle this particular project. And the purpose of this board meeting was to ask the board for their agreement about scoping this particular project. So what the staff should research and work on in the future for then the board to consider. So that no decisions have been taken yet about this project other than the ones in this meeting about scoping the project itself. So we firstly talked about the statement of financial performance, and the board decided that the primary focus of this project should be on that statement, and we should consider whether we should require additional subtotals in that statement, for example, EBIT and operating profit, whether we should look to removing some of the options for presentation of income and expense, for example, the presentation of the net interest cost on a net defined benefit pension liability, whether we should provide guidance on the use of additional performance measures, whether we should look at separate presentation of things like non-recurring or unusual or infrequently recurring items, and also whether there's better ways to communicate information about other comprehensive income. So it's really looking at all aspects of the income statement and how we might improve the presentation of that. We looked at some other aspects of primary financial statements. For the cash flow statement, the staff are going to consider whether there's a case to eliminate some of the options which are available there, for example, how to present interest and dividends, whether we might be able to align the operating section of the cash flow statement better with the operating section, if we were to have one, in the statement of financial performance, whether we might be able to have a consistent starting point for the indirect reconciliation of operating cash flows. At the moment, there is no such requirement, and different companies do different things. So those were some possible changes to the cash flow statement. I don't think the intention is to have a complete fundamental rethink of that statement, but to see whether we can do some targeted changes alongside the changes that might be possible to the statement of financial performance. We also looked at whether we might develop some templates for the presentation of the primary financial statements, templates that vary by industry. This was an interesting proposal from the staff, and the board agreed to look at that. And also to see whether we might develop a principle for aggregating and disaggregating items in the primary financial statements. So those are all the things that the board decided would be included in the work that the staff does on this project, and these topics will come to the board for decisions and discussion in future meetings. The board decided, however, not to consider targeted improvements to the statement of financial position. It's possible that other work might indicate that such changes are necessary, but the board decided not to make that the primary focus of the project, and also not to consider any changes to segment reporting or the presentation of discontinued activities. So those were three things that were not going to be part of the project directly. So moving on to the disclosure initiative, there were three things that the board discussed in relation to disclosure: the definition of materiality, the finalisation of the materiality practice statement, and then some limited amendments to IAS 7 about cash restrictions. So firstly, the definition of materiality. Originally, this was part of the principles of disclosure discussion paper, but recently the board decided that rather than include a discussion about the definition in that discussion paper, it would actually be better if we published this separately as an exposure draft. Now, we're not fundamentally redesigning the definition of materiality. It's really collating what's already there and making it more consistent. So it's not something which is going to have an enormous impact. However, we do think it is important to clarify this definition. So we will publish a discussion paper next year, an exposure draft next year, proposing this refinement to the definition of materiality. Materiality practice statement that we exposed for comment last year, we are now in the process of finalising this. There was one final topic to be discussed in this meeting, and that's in relation to the application of materiality to prior period information. that this is an area where there are different approaches to prior period information, so-called corresponding figures and comparative financial statements approaches. Because of the confusion this tends to create, the board is going to avoid describing or acknowledging the existence of those two different approaches. And we're not going to deal with that directly in the practice statement. What we are going to do, though, is to state that the assessment of whether to provide narrative and descriptive prior period information should be made on the basis of its relevance to understanding the current period financial statements, and this is in line with the requirements of IAS 1. But that we would acknowledge that an entity might choose to go further, and going further in providing additional information that for those prior periods, so long as that is not going to impede the understanding of the current period information by sort of concealing relevant information, for example. So that's sort of clarifying how we deal with prior period information from a materiality perspective. And that really concludes the discussions of the board on the materiality practice statement. So the final document for this will be published in due course next year. And then finally, the final aspect of the disclosure initiative is a possibility that we were looking at as to whether we revise IAS 7 and the disclosure about cash restrictions. This has been discussed by the board on numerous occasions. And in the end, we have decided not to go ahead with any modification here. I think the staff were convinced that that the existing disclosure requirements in various international standards that deal with this were sufficient, and that there was no real need to make a modification to the words in those various standards. So we decided not to go ahead with those changes which had previously been discussed. And that's it on Disclosure Initiative.
Thank you, Hugh and Steve. Before we finish, I just want to remind you that the official summary of the December board meeting called ISB Update can be found on the IFRS Foundation's website, www.ifrs.org. This contains further information on other topics that were also discussed at the December meeting. The next ISB meeting starts on the 16th of January. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.